Okay, today we're coming back to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 4. And I'm taking title from the words found in verse 20. Peter and John declare, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and which we have heard." Speaking what we know. That's what gospel preachers do. Speaking what we know. We read it a moment ago in 1 John chapter 1. John writes, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Speaking what we do know. Peter and John had been with the Lord Jesus Christ in His public ministry for at least 3 years. They saw His many and mighty miracles. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ command a dead man to come out of the grave, and Lazarus, who'd been dead 4 days, his body had already started to corrupt, and the dead man walked out of the tomb. Boy, they had something to tell, didn't they? Because they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ act as God. They saw His many and mighty miracles. They heard Him declare the gospel of God, how God saves sinners in Christ. The Lord said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me." Peter and John heard the Father speak from heaven audibly on the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter said, "Well, boy, this is a special time. Let's build a tabernacle to Moses, one to Elijah, and one to the Lord Jesus Christ." And God speaks from heaven and said, "Peter, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." So he heard the Father speak, identifying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, as the Messiah, as the Christ of God. And these men, mere fishermen, they were considered by the established religious crowd as ignorant men. They were telling out what they knew to be true. They were eyewitnesses, as we read in 2 Peter 1. They were eyewitnesses to His majesty, to His glory, to His power. They could not speak otherwise. To do so would be what? A false prophet. To speak otherwise. He said, "We're going to tell you exactly what we've seen with these eyes and what we've heard with these ears, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ." One old preacher of the past used to say, "You cannot tell what you do not know. Try it sometime. Try to tell out what you don't know." And then he would go on to say, "You cannot tell what you do not know any more than you can come back from where you have not been." That old preacher's name was Ralph Barnard, who came to Ashland, Kentucky in April of 1950 and declared the gospel of the grace of God. And one young 24-year-old man sitting there on the front row heard God speak through that minister, and that man's name was Henry Thomas Mahan. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? How God had blessed his ministry. False preachers today, and I mean by that the mainstream of religion today, they do not preach the truth of salvation by the grace of God alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone, to the glory of God alone. They do not preach the truth of God. You know why? They do not know the truth, nor the true and living God. If you know the truth and believe the truth and have been taught the truth, what are you going to speak? You're going to tell the truth of who God is. Now, these men stood, as it says in verse 13, with boldness. These men stood with uncompromising boldness. They would preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and would give their life in doing so, preaching the gospel boldly. Now, I'm going to work on that word for just a little bit here later on in the message when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, what if, now this is exactly what Peter and John did. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers and elders, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and all the people that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is that stone, the stone, the foundation which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone." Peter goes on to say, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, what if Peter would have said, when they asked, "In whose name you had done this miracle?" What if Peter would have said, "Well, we did this in the name of Jehovah." You remember back over here in chapter 3, verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath glorified the fathers. God of our fathers hath glorified, rather, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." If they would have said, "Well, we did this in the name of the God of Abraham," the Sanhedrin court probably would have been satisfied and probably would have dismissed them with no further action against them. But that would not be telling the truth. The point of the issue was the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did this miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The point of contention and the issue of the day was that their salvation in no other. Had Peter and John failed to tell out what they had seen and heard concerning the gospel of Christ, they would have failed to boldly declare the gospel of Christ. Martin Luther said, "The point of contention in that day when they stood before that council was, who is Jesus Christ and what had he accomplished?" Martin Luther said, "If we fail to confess the gospel of Christ at the point of contention in our day, we fail to preach the gospel." What was the point of contention? How does God save and justify sinners? That is the point of contention in our day. How does God justify sinners? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to contend for the faith that was delivered unto the saints and do so boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Seeing we have," or Paul said rather, "seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness," and it's the same word, boldness of speech. They prayed for that down in verse 29, Acts chapter 4. They prayed for boldness that they might speak the gospel with boldness. Look at verse 29, chapter 4, verse 29. "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of truth." Look at verse 31, Acts chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness." Boldness before God. Now, believers, and especially preachers of the gospel, cannot be ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul said, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation." We speak the gospel with all plainness of speech and with boldness. When Paul writes, as he sits in prison in Rome, back to young Timothy, he said, "Do not be ashamed of me nor the gospel. For it's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace given us in the Lord Jesus Christ." We must preach the gospel of God with boldness, openness, and clarity, and plainness of speech, declaring who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is, God our Savior. What He accomplished for us, He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Why did He die for the sin of God's people? That God might be just and the justifier of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must declare where He is right now. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Well, He's seated on the throne of God at the right hand of God when He by Himself purged our sin. He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, look at verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that is declaring that their salvation in no other, they perceived or understood that these men were uneducated, they were unlettered, they were unlearned, they were ignorant men, but they marveled and they took knowledge of them or acknowledged that they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this word boldness found in verse 13 means blunt. Bluntness. It means frankness. It means to plainly and freely speak the truth. And that's exactly what Peter and John did. In their plain speaking, with courage given of God, they declared with an open and powerful declaration that salvation was in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. These religious rulers of the day dismissed them as unlettered, ignorant, and idiots who didn't know anything. Now, these men were sent of God. However, they marveled and acknowledged that they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they had been with, I love the last part of verse 13, they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. No better place to be, no better company any man could keep than to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be taught by Him. Wouldn't that be something? To be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are by faith to be taught of Him. All that have heard and learned of the Father, all that are taught by the Father, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where saving faith looks, unto Christ. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was held standing with them, they couldn't say anything against this man and the healing that they had received. Although they strongly dismissed their words, they disbelieved the message. They could not deny the miracle of this man being healed, who was a cripple all his life, who was 40 years old, now standing and made whole with perfect soundness, as it says back in chapter 3. They could say nothing against the miracle, but yet they denied that he was healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that just like people today? People today and religious folks, for the most part, they cannot deny or will not deny the creation of God, or that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, or even that God raised Him from the dead, but they deny what He accomplished in all the redemptive work of God and saving His people from their sin. Now, to say the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of the sins of all men and put them in a savable state, or put them in such a condition if they do certain things they will be saved, is to deny the gospel of God. The Lord Jesus Christ saved His people from their sin when He gave His life and shed His blood, and He makes their salvation absolutely certain and sure. Now, that's the gospel. We cannot deny those things, but we openly and boldly declare those things, even though religious people may gnash at their teeth when we say the Lord Jesus Christ died only for His chosen and only for His elect. As the Word of God declares, our Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. people who say God's done all He can do, now it's up to you, and that salvation depends upon you, they're not sent of God. They're not God's preachers. Salvation is always purpose of God, purpose from eternity, accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them. Salvation is always purpose of God. He purposed that in eternity. He accomplished salvation for us when He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Salvation always depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ and is applied by Him. These are the things that we have seen and heard in His Word. These are the things that we must boldly declare unto all men everywhere, that salvation is dependent upon Him. God, who has begun a good work in you, He will finish it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, read on in our story, back to Acts chapter 4, verse 15, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now, they commanded the men who were under arrest to go outside of their council chamber. And then it says there, they conferred among themselves. Now, that's never a wise thing to do, to hold a council of men when considering the gospel of God, how God saves sinners. It's never a wise thing to do to consult the flesh or to consult one another. The apostle writes about it this way, we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, for they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise men. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It's always the wrong thing to do when considering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to consult with the flesh. These men didn't consult the Scriptures. They did not beg God and pray unto God for understanding, nor would they ask these men who knew all things in regard to the gospel. They would not ask these men to preach the gospel unto them. Rather, they commanded them not to preach any more in His name. They were full of religious pride, self-righteousness, and they wanted nothing to do with the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 16, 17. And here's what they said. What shall we do with these men? This is their counsel. For indeed a notable miracle had been done by them and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny the miracle, the man standing in front of us, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name that they hated. They threatened them and commanded them not to preach the gospel anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 21. When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men or all glorified God. They wanted nothing to do with God. Now, I want you to find chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, because we see the next time, and the apostles did not cease to preach and teach in His name in all Jerusalem. But over in Acts chapter 5, when they were called again before this council, here's what they further did. Verse 40, Acts chapter 5. To him they agreed, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they agreed with the council of Gamaliel and said, if this work be of God, you can't stop it. If it's of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to fight against God, verse 39. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, had beaten them, and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, they let him go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. They told them to hush, but because they had the boldness of God the Holy Spirit, they just kept right on preaching the gospel. And God blessed it. You cannot stop the purpose of God, and to threaten God's servants is to assault the very throne of God and His sovereign purpose. Now that gets us down to their answer. Verse 19, Peter and John, they called them and commanded them not to speak. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? Well, I guess you make that judgment. For we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, because all men glorified God. Now, Peter and John, still in their boldness and determination to preach Christ as all in salvation. Now, how do you account for such boldness of these men? Well, verse 8 is the answer. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how you account for their boldness. Their boldness. They were filled with the message of Christ. Now, much better to obey God, Peter says, and to ignore you, when the commands of men run contrary to the revealed will of God written in the Word. It's always right for us to obey God and ignore what men say. Now, what if the magistrates locally or in our state commanded that we could not stand in our pulpit and preach the gospel anymore? What if they commanded us to preach universal love, universal atonement? What if they said, if you're going to preach, you got to preach this, this, and this, rather than what God says? What are we going to do? We're going to tell the truth about the gospel of God. It's always right and better to submit unto God rather than to surrender to men. That's why so many of the dear saints, men who were burned to the stake, they were given that commandment not to preach the gospel of God's grace anymore. And they were commanded to shut up or burn. And they said, we'd rather burn than stop preaching the gospel. Oh, John Bunyan, writer of that book, Pilgrim Progress, you know, they put him in prison for 12 years to try to shut him up. And that's when he wrote that book. You can't stop the purpose of God. And when John Bunyan was released, he went on preaching the gospel of God. Paul said, the servants of God do not seek to please men. If we do so, we're not the servants of God. God commanded these men. The religious leader said, we command you to stop. What did the Lord Jesus Christ command them to do? He commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has given His church the same exact commandment to us. I take it personally, and I hope you do too, because God's people are all in the ministry. We've been given this charge to preach Christ and Him crucified. We must preach Him. The apostle put it this way, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Now, we're going to see all the way through our study in the book of Acts how God honors the means He has ordained to call out His people through the preaching of the gospel of God concerning the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to turn with me, I would encourage you to do so over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. even though the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24, look at it carefully, but unto them which are called, both Jews or Gentile, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. Christ in Him crucified is all the counsel of God, how God saves sinners. Now, look back to the text for just a moment. We see something in verse 21. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all glorified God for that which was done. I want to show you something interesting about these men. Turn back over here to John chapter 12. These religious men, they cared more for the applause of men than they did for the glory of God. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the honor of God and the praise of God. Here were 5,000 men this day, 3,000 the day before, who heard and believed the gospel and were determined to glorify God, for all glorified God. You see that in the last part of verse 21? For that which was done. You know, that's the distinguishing mark between the gospel of God concerning Christ, who gives all the honor and glory, to that which is another gospel that honors the creature. That's the distinguishing feature, who gets the glory in saving sinners. Well, God gets all the glory. But in Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. And that comes from Jeremiah 9:23. Let me read that to you. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, I want to give you this in closing. May the Lord be pleased to exalt Christ in our heart, that we might believe Him with all boldness, liberty, and freedom in Christ. You see, Christ in us, that we might honor and glorify Him by believing Him. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he's able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. May God be pleased to exalt Christ in our heart, that we might believe him with all boldness and rest in him with all freedom of spirit and heart. And all that is in us is. Secondly, that we may have boldness to speak the thing which we have seen, heard, and believed. This word boldness, as it says in verse 13, means openly, plainly, and freely preach the gospel and believe the gospel of God without any reservation. Saving faith doesn't have any reservations. We wholeheartedly believe all things written in the Scripture. Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. In verse 31 of Acts 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness before all men. Now, I want to show you a couple places. This won't take long, but I want to show you how the apostle uses that word boldness. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, first of all. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 11 and 12. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness that's given to us. Saving faith is bold. It boldly trusts Christ for all of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 19. Paul prays this way. Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, Ephesians 6, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, to make it known. May God grant that to us here. Now, a couple more places I want us to look at. If you'll turn to the book of Hebrews now. Boldness. Boldness. Liberty. Freedom. Openness. Plainness of speech to declare that God is God. That salvation is of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is Hebrews 10:17. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have boldness. We have liberty. Another place, back, turn back to Hebrews 4. Verse 14, seeing then that we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, same word, unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. When is that? All the time. Now, here's the last one. Turn back over to 1 John, and this time find chapter 4, I believe it is. Chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. When they saw the boldness in Peter and John. Now, look at this here. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, complete in Christ, that we may have boldness, not only before men, but in the day of judgment. Wouldn't you like to have boldness in the day of judgment? Boldness to declare that Christ is all of my salvation. He's all of my righteousness. Herein is our love made perfect, complete in Christ, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Right now, we have boldness in Christ before the throne of God. That's why he said, come boldly before him, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Now, Peter and John are let go. But you know what? They keep right on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness. And may God give us grace to believe the gospel and to contend for the gospel with all boldness, openness, not being ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.